I'm Ted Baker in the studios of WEOS and WHWS at the Scandling Center here at the colleges, and this is the Hobart Football Podcast, Episode 39. It's Liberty League play. It's Hobart and Ithaca at Boswell Field, 1 o'clock kickoff on Saturday. We're joined by the head coach of the Statesman, Kevin DeWall. Welcome back.
Good morning, Ted.
So we were debating after the game which number is more impressive, 52 points against Keystone with an offense that had been finding its way, or 9 points allowed and no touchdowns against what we all thought is a legit offense.
I think it's the defensive one. As good as the offense felt in terms of scoring the 52, we got some help. If you look at a lot of the short fields where special teams and defense assisted in that. So I think that's, as always, a team effort in terms of getting the points. But I think coming in, what we saw from Keystone and their explosiveness on offense and just the ability to that they got off to a strong start in all their three games prior to, I thought that was a huge win for our defense to hold them down and even to get them to the point where they had to settle for field goal attempts and not kick extra points.
We talk a lot about special teams. Kieran Cotter, 48-yard kickoff return to start things off. You got to like when you're starting on the right side of midfield on your first possession.
And that was huge for us. Through the first three games, just a combination of our defense not giving up a lot of points, and we didn't get a lot of kickoff returns. We didn't field a couple. We faced some kickers that gave us some touchbacks, but I thought that was the first game, and realistically, that was the first time we actually had legit kickoff returns is week four, which is really rare for us. So it was good. We got a couple of reps in that game that I thought that specific special team unit, I think we moved the needle in the right direction there. But without a doubt, to start out offensively with great field position and then to be able to capitalize on the opening drive, get the 7 points up, which we hadn't done all year long, was a good initiation for hopefully things to come.
Johnny Colombi set career highs in completion percentage, yards, and touchdowns. I don't think I've ever seen him throw the ball that well with such a variety of passes. Touch passes, gunned passes over the middle, out patterns. That's just what we've been waiting for.
Yeah, and I think there was one or two ball locations or throwaways that that added into the incompletions, but I thought that was his most complete game in terms of having confidence pre-snap, what he was seeing, and then post-snap, most importantly, reading what the defense was giving to him, finding his movement keys, and then getting to the right location. So, his experience showed out, and each game he just keeps checking on a little bit more and more with that experience. And I thought that was a really complete game for him, and without a doubt, like our pass efficiency, that was our best to date, and hopefully that'll head into league play.
And I just love watching these young receivers develop. I mean, Johnny Harding's catching the ball. Tristan Reynolds is catching it. They can give you yards after the catch. I mean, it was a little scary on that Johnny touchdown where he almost fumbled it, but he reached for the line and got there.
Yeah, he used his full length to get to the goal line. And, yeah, we talk about keeping that ball in his hands, but that's just a great effort play. You know, it was a great catch. And then, honestly, just trying to see if we were going to need to use the timeout before half to try to keep the time in play so we could get some points before half, and then he made the guy miss and was able to break it. So, he performed really well. I thought Tristan Reynolds, and we've had a couple other the first-year wide receivers doing well too. So that group, as we play a lot of our first years now, have got four games under their belt in the non-conference schedule, and they're going to still continue to be first years, but hopefully they can flip the needle closer to becoming like an older, more experienced version of themselves as we get in the second half of the season.
Injuries are always part of football. You got one offensive lineman back, Quinn Brogy at center, lost another one in Ashton Mejias at left tackle.
Yeah, it was. We lost two starters there on offense. That was tough. I think the week we had prepared because a handful of the guys, we've been moving guys around basically. That's the fourth line that, again, four games, we haven't had the same offensive line that have been able to start and finish the game. That position, unfortunately, is one that sometimes you get rolled up on. There's some different things that happen. But I think we're in a better spot now than we were back when it happened in Elford in week one, just because we've gotten, three or four first years, either first years as in freshmen or first year like sophomore, juniors playing that have gotten a little bit more experience. So, as always, you never want injuries to happen, but we actually addressed it again to our guys. It's about why we prepare, why we recruit and develop the way we do. We're going to need that next man to step up, and we were able to do that fairly well through the first four games, non-conference-wise, and now you get into more even physical games as you get into league play. It's later in the season that the bodies just don't feel the same way after been playing as many games as they have, and we're going to have to do a great job because inevitably there's going to be some injuries in every single game, whether that's for a play, for a series, or out for the game, that we're going to need other guys to step up. And we're seeing that now this week in practice in terms of how we've had to move some guys around just from either things that have happened from Saturday's game at Keystone or even throughout the week.
How do you feel about the run game overall? You don't like to overwork your number one guy. E.J. Taylor's had 70 carries in four games. That's about right. Cotter gives you a certain set of skills. We got to see Duran in the game and see what he can do in terms of size and strength. So how do you evaluate the overall run game four games in?
Yeah, I think the toughest part, the running backs have been running hard. I think the movement parts between the O-line and tight end, those two groups are the ones we've had some injuries to. Everyone thinks about the O-line, but the tight end groups are a huge part of our offense too. And we have a handful of injuries at that position. That being said, I think, we are in a better spot now coming out of, I thought, Alfred, we were at probably our most productive running game. You know, part of that was the big play that EJ had, but as a whole, we were running pretty well in that game. You know, I think when we played some of those younger guys against a more experienced Randolph Macon team, that was a tough front for us to go at. You know, and then we've seen some different looks and movements with Moravian and Keystone the last 2 weeks after that. So I think our running game's in a good position. I mean, I always wanted to be a little bit more consistent, and I think we can do that. The running backs are running hard. You know, we're starting to get, we've tried to be smart in terms of how many touches EJ's getting. He's clearly our top guy right now. But I think Kieran Cotter has gotten better and better as he's getting more reps and is doing really, really well when he's had the opportunity. Andres Duran is healthier now. We also have had Nick Gaffney starting to get healthy again. So there's been a handful of guys that maybe their role hasn't been as large other than maybe some partial minutes or some special team situations that now I think we'll have four or five running backs to be able to be healthy as we head into league play.
Harding had a pair of touchdown catches. Crowell caught two, but then we all held our breaths. He came up kind of limping after one of them. Is that just going to be his year?
Kind of how we were last year with a couple of our skill guys. Like some of those injuries, some guys are playing not at 100%, so you hope that they can perform at their optimal. But, I think there's going to be some situations where we're going to have some guys that are going to have to play as tough as they can, and maybe their 75-80% is going to be what their new 100% is going to look like.
Before I forget about it, we saw Christian Donnelly on the field for a couple of snaps offensively, but defensively when they tried to run the little reverse on the kickoff return, that's the special teams tackle of the year right there inside the five. He hit
play.
That guy.
Yeah. So Christian, great athlete. I had the good fortune to recruit him out of New Jersey. And he was a running quarterback, just kind of like the top athlete coming out of his high school. So we had him in defense his first couple of years, moved him over to receiver, and he's doing really well for us at receiver. But he's always got that defensive mentality in him. So great play there, and he's been a pretty prominent player for us on special teams. And that's why I say, like, a couple of those points, I mean, our defense goes and gets the pick six right after that. That was a special teams play, win the field position. And then our defense was able to capitalize. So, that 52 points felt great, and offense had a handful of those, but that was a great work by the defense and special teams, all three units married together.
Yeah, let's talk about Corey Rock a little bit. He had the two interceptions, one for a touchdown, and he always seems to have a good nose for the ball.
Yeah, Corey's a young man that we think is going to have an upside if he continues to really be dialed in and focused. Like a lot of first years, sometimes there's a lot of newness, a lot of distractions. We got to get him really dialed in, but he's got the athletic ability to be a true lockdown corner for us as much as we want to play man and different things. And I think he's done that. Like, he's right now in a backup role behind our two older corners, but I think he's gotten better and better each opportunity he's been out there, just like a lot of our other first years we talked about on offense. He's one of the guys on defense that as the season goes on needs to take on a larger role, not just on defense but on special teams as well.
One of the things, it seems like in the passing game you've gone to more screen passes this year with some pretty good success, both receiver screens, and you've been able to throw little flips to Taylor out of the backfield.
Yeah, I think the ability right now is I think we're quicker and faster as a receiver unit than we were last year. So a lot of times, a lot of those plays is timing. Our timing still needs to be a little bit better as we've kind of moved some of the O-line around. You know, we have some 0 second screens, some 1 second screens, some 2 second screens. So we got a handful of different ways. And I just look at those as offensively, those are just ways to get athletes the ball in open space or extensions of our run game. You know, trying to be hopefully throws that are increasing our efficiency. But we hit one, but then obviously there's one or two in particular where guys have made some great plays afterwards that make the screen a lot better too. So as always, sometimes people think players, sometimes people think plays. I'm always usually trying to find players first and then plays second and figure out who can do what with the ball, whether that's down the field, whether that's behind the line of scrimmage. We try to do that every position as much as we can.
No turnovers, second game in a row. That wins games.
Absolutely. And I think that's probably the brightest point from my standpoint on the offensive side of the ball is I felt like we've done a really good job the last two games of not putting our defense in harm's way or with a short field. Now, not that we're playing tentative, but that we're going to be really smart with the football. That helps when you have a senior quarterback that's making decisions back there. And then really the ball handling, we've really put as a point of emphasis since preseason, and hopefully we can continue to do that well as we face, you know, more and more aggressive defenses these next couple of weeks.
I always joke when coaches have a big win, they have to find something to be unhappy about. So 13 penalties for 109.
We addressed it before we even got off the field. I just thought a little bit of sloppiness. Now, part of that was the crew that we had. They were calling a lot in both situations. Looking back on the video, there was two or three of them they shouldn't have called. Some of them were point of emphasis, but they also missed a couple key point of emphasis calls. I think that was actually more tied to the crew, and I'll own that with us. I said it to our guys. The things that we need to be able to clean up, there was a couple false starts. There was a couple, you know, discretionary calls that, you know, 50-50 type holds, things like that. But as a whole, we just said, like, that was the thing that jumped out to me. Yes, we didn't turn the ball over, but I thought we were able to overcome some of those penalties, especially on offense. But we had 45 yards on special teams penalties, and that can't happen. So we addressed it. We want our guys playing aggressive, as always, but we got to make sure we toe the line on having that discipline. And we said moving forward, you know, the more disciplined team typically is going to win, and that's got to be our focus again for this week.
Defensively, the number of sacks don't always tell the story. I mean, you did get one sack first of the year against them, but you came close a number of times. You can have a game where you have zero or one sacks, but you're in the quarterback's face all the time, disrupting him and affecting the game, and I felt like that's what you did.
Yeah, I think through four games, we've faced a couple teams. You know, take away Moravians, the one team that was heavy pass, and I think we were able to pressure the quarterback there. But really, Keystone was a run-first team. You know, Alfred was a run-first team. And then, obviously, Randolph-Macon was a run-first team. So three out of the four teams we faced were run-first. You know, it's a little different in terms of how you attack the line of scrimmage, and you're right. There's many ways sacks can be deceiving. Sometimes that can be because the quarterback held on it too long. We've also faced some more experienced quarterbacks that have been getting rid of the ball. So sometimes force in a hurry, a throwaway, some different things. We want to make sure that the O-line and the quarterback are uncomfortable. You would love to get sacks. Those are great negative plays, but sometimes it could be just disrupting to the point where it changes how the offensive coordinator's calling the play or how that quarterback's going to handle the situation.
Billy Brosco was off to a great start. He goes down with an injury. You brought Hunter Voss in at nose guard in the middle of the 3-4. I thought he asserted himself early. And then also you've moved Nick Provenzano. He's played defensive end. Now he's playing inside. Those two guys really stepped up to stuff the run and funnel things to the linebackers.
Yeah, I think our D-line, again, I thought had a second week in a row where we were going against some pretty good O-lines, and they held up really well. You know, losing Bill right now until he's back healthy is definitely a hurt. You know, you can't replace a guy with his ability. But I will say having Hunter back, and then really Hunter and Nick Provenzano, both the guys you mentioned, have the ability to play any of our three positions up front. So that's pretty good versatility. They're not necessarily as big at the nose position as some other teams, but they're going to have to make up for it with their strength and really their intellect to understand how to play and defeat certain blocks, especially in the run game. So moving forward, those two are going to be huge for us. If we continue to play well in defense, it's going to be at the point of attack, those two, and then the guys on the edge.
The linebacker group, you've got veterans coming back. You know what you're going to get out of Bliss. You know what you're going to get out of Romano McGee. But Cashin Young, who didn't play a lot last year, has taken a bigger role. Guys like Noah Sachere, Giordano, anytime you have depth in a group like that, you know you're going to need it at some point.
Yeah, Cash, I mean, I think about he had a great last year. It kind of was his breakout year, and then unfortunately he had the injury where he lost a good chunk of it. So, you know, we know he, as a senior, as a captain, he's ready to go. He's playing some of his best ball right now. I think Vinny Giordano is another one that you mentioned that, like, we basically consider him a starter as well. As much as he plays, we have five linebackers that are considered starters. They're not always out there at the same time, but, you know, the fact that three of those guys can play inside, can play outside, that experience, that versatility is huge for Coach Green and the defensive staff. And Coach Schaefer has done a really good job getting those guys locked in. They're the ones that are communicating on both the front and the back level. Without a doubt, you know, the senior leadership and experience that's happening between that group, and I throw Mike McGee in. I know he's only a junior, but he's played so much that we got five really experienced linebackers, and again, they're the engine. They're the ones that are going to make sure that things are happening, and we're going to be as good as that group can take us.
And one of the things that controls how aggressive you are with that linebacker group is the secondary. So talk about the way they've covered. I mean, those we haven't seen too many open receivers this year.
Yeah, I think the we've done a better job even since week one, week two, playing those 50-50 type balls that inevitably, whether you're man or zone, that are going to happen. I know we're going to be tested this week. Ithaca is going to try to get into those situations where there's going to be 50-50 balls, so we'll see how we move forward with a team that's going to be more of a passing threat than where we were. But I thought that Keystone had really good speed on the perimeter. There was once or twice they did get behind us. We got to work on making sure that we try to do a better job in those situations. But, you know, senior Chris Toomba is doing a really good job. Z Dixon on the other side, those two as corners, Alex Smith and Zach Ambielli, are those are the four that are getting the prominent minutes in the back end. You know, and all of them, you know, again, you got, you know, senior, junior, and senior, those three, and then Z's getting his first really live action this year, but he's getting better week in, and we gave him our defensive player of the game, not because of flashy stats and all that, but just because of his consistent play. And I thought Keystone was a game where there wasn't someone with 12 tackles and three sacks. There wasn't someone, I mean, and Corey Rock had the two picks. That was even a little bit later in the game, but, like, I thought our starters across the board, just we were able to rotate guys, keep guys fresh. And I think coming out of it, it was great to see that both that we were productive, but we also came out of that game relatively healthy now as we head into league play. Yes, we have some injuries, but as a whole, like, our defense is fired up, and we're going to be tested, you know, against a pretty solid Ithaca offense on Saturday.
With a big lead, you were able to go deep in the kicker group. Colin Goff came in, showed a good kickoff leg. Montaigne kicked a couple of extra points.
Yeah, and if you remember what we talked about last week, I said that those younger kickers were going to get in the flow. But regardless of the score, those two guys were going to likely play. Partly to, again, every day we compete, you know, and Toby needed to compete, obviously from both a kickoff and a field goal standpoint. Colin Goff's done a really good job. Like, he'll be hopefully competing with Toby all the way through in terms of the kickoffs. And then Luke had been coming back. We had kind of limited his reps a little bit with a little bit of just his leg, and but he came in, and again, on his birthday, we want to make sure he got a chance to score on his birthday, and that worked out well. And then we didn't punt a ton, you know, but Vicente had a good week. And, you know, so we got, you know, one or two punters that are going to be able to compete. We got one or two field goal kickers, one or two kickoff guys. And I just think that competition is going to be important all the way through the season, every position. But to have hopefully that depth will be key, because at some point we're going to need all those guys to make key kicks or key punts in the right moments.
When we got in the fourth quarter, we said on the air, okay, the one thing we want to see now is a good field goal shot for Toby. And he got it from 41 and nailed it.
There it is. Yeah, so if you can keep wishing that, I'll keep that doing. So we'll try to do our best to deliver. But, yeah, again, and we said it, you know, I know he's had a couple of misses earlier in the season, but that hasn't wavered our confidence. I go off of what I see throughout the week and body work, and we now have three guys ready to come in and kick an extra point or field goal at any time, and hopefully Toby will continue to gain that confidence. And a lot of it's just him and his mechanics, him being consistent. And, you know, I probably spent more time talking between his ears than I did anything technique-wise, just saying, like, take care of the things you can take care of. We believe in you, and we're going to need him, and as well as all the specialists, to play special as we move forward into league play.
What have you been telling the team this week about preparing for Ithaca? They know the record. It's a team you've struggled with. It just, you know, I don't know if you believe in jinxes, but it seems some things go wrong sometimes you play them. So how do you get their heads in the right direction for it's another football team, don't play the uniform, play the guys?
Yeah, and you said it. I mean, I don't believe there's a jinx. I think what happened was, for the last 4 or 5 years, they've had a bye before us. And not to say that's only that's the only factor, but that's a huge deal,
yeah,
especially early in the season. So they've come in fresh. They've had 2 weeks to prepare for us. This year they don't have that. They had a bye on week three and not week four. But honestly, when you think of it, those games have come down to typically what you think of in most games. You're going to have two talented teams. Hobart and Ithaca are both talented. I've said it very clear on Sunday, and I said it every day of practice. We are not the same team that we were last year. They are not the same team they were last year. That's why we play the games, and each year has been different. You know, last year, unfortunately, we gave them two really key special teams plays that were 10 points. You could argue that's a huge part of that game. And it affects some of the decisions in the fourth quarter because of it, that ultimately then lets them hit that big run late. But that being said, they made the plays. In the past, it's come down to which line of scrimmage is won. Last year, they won the line of scrimmage. And ultimately, big play / turnovers. And I think that's true in almost any game. If you look at every game we've played this year, you know, you go through all four of our games, who won the line of scrimmage and big play turnovers, that's going to decide almost anything. So then all of a sudden, if you assign a name to it, yeah, it happens to be Ithaca, but it comes down to, all right, who's going to be the team that establishes the line of scrimmage, and which team's going to have either fewer turnovers / giving up big plays, and which teams can capitalize on that. That's almost going to be the difference in any game. I think it is just another game, and the fact that both teams are 0-0, so you can throw away the records, but both teams are still trying to figure out who we are, and I think that's different. I think in the past, you know, they've had maybe some more answers set in some of their personnel. I think we've had some more answers set in our personnel. I think we're still kind of evaluating who we are. We are trending in the right direction, and we've gotten better from week one to week two, week two to week three, week three to week four. I hope that we're going to still make that next step and play as close to a complete game like we did against Keystone. And if we do that, then it comes back to, as I said, it doesn't matter who we are. It's a faceless opponent. All right, it happens to be that the name Ithaca is on their jersey, but it does come down to Hobart taking care of what Hobart can take care of.
Jalen Leonard Osborne, big play guy on the ground, big play guy catching it, big play guy returning it. Do you have anything special for him? Do you game plan for one guy like that?
You have to. I think he's a close comparison to what Rayshon Boswell was for us in terms of a guy that is arguably would be one of the best receivers in the league. He's a very good running back, great returner. So every time he has the ball in his hands, he has a chance to go the distance. I thought we did a good job on him last year, and then you can see one play can make a difference, and he's got the speed to make it go. Their big run late in the fourth quarter when he busted through, we didn't necessarily have the right gap sound up front. We gave him a hole, and the rest was after that. So without a doubt, they're going to get him his touches. He's a focal part, I think, actually even more against us than they've used him in the first 3 weeks. I just think like anything, some coaches kind of hold some things until you get to league play. I think he's going to be a huge focal part. They got two or three other really good backs. They're big at the line of scrimmage, so they're going to get theirs. We got to do a great job at gang tackling and being sound in our run fits. And then what they want to do is pull you up and then be able to play action and do some different things out in the perimeter with it. And they got a handful of return experience at the receiver position too. So they're talented. This will be our best test to date so far for our defense, in the sense of we thought Randolph-Macon was a really good run team. You know, Alfred and some of the teams we faced, Keystone, were really big at the line of scrimmage. These guys are big. They're heavier. They're going to have the size advantage up front. We're going to use our speed and our quickness along with our just being stout and strength, pound for pound strong. And we're going to have to do a great job tackling. And I think when we've done that, we'll have a chance to do a good job against them offensively. If we haven't tackled well, as much as they're going to try to get the ball to the number one, like you just mentioned, and some of the other backs and some of the receivers, a lot of their throws are quick game and then trying to get more run after the catch. They will take some vertical shots, but we got to do a great job rallying and tackling just to, you know, prevent a 5-yard pass to become first downs and then chunk yardage after that.
How do you evaluate their quarterback play? Not trying to give anybody any bulletin board material, but they lost an elite quarterback. You're probably going to have a drop-off after that, and they have been a team that you can pick off so far.
Well, I think it's different. I think last year when we faced AJ, their starter, who had been a 4-year starter, there's just such an advantage. He had the game experience and just the it factor that, like, he was going to keep them out of a lot of negative plays. He would never really got foiled under pressure and like that. And honestly, he was their MVP. He was their best player. When he went down with an injury, then they really leaned more on the run game. That's where Jalen, the running back, and now they have a healthy Williams. They have 3 or 4 running backs to lean on. They're leaning a little bit more on the run game this year, which is good on their part, and I think that makes sense. I think there's a little bit of deception on the fact that they played 3 quarterbacks, partly is the injury and health of their starting quarterback. The young man who was a freshman last year who finished the rest of the season for him, they changed their offense for him because he wasn't AJ, and when AJ went out with an injury after us, they still were able to finish the conference schedule and won the conference with that other quarterback playing. That kid's now a sophomore. He's their starter. He is their best guy. He's big. He can run it. So a little bit more quarterback runs. You know, he can still throw it, but they're going to a little bit more run oriented. And then they're using 2 other quarterbacks, partly for both productivity and or health. So we're going to be prepared to see all 3 at some capacity, and just know that at the end of the day, it's going to come down to, can we win the line of scrimmage, stop the run, and then get them to the point where they have to be a little bit more pass focused. And if they can do whatever they want in the run game, then the passing game is secondary.
It seems to me like the last few Ithaca games have been real field position games. I mean, your punters, kickers, returners have all got to be on the top of their game, because it makes a big difference if you're starting at your 10 or at your 40.
No doubt. Yeah, you're right. And especially last year, there was a handful of times we were just were backed up. You know, and one time we would go on a 99-yard drive. Their defense gets the ball at the one. That's great. We have to have great awareness in terms of our decision-making with the special teams. So that's our returners and then obviously our kickers and punters and guys that are covering. But I also think we have to have really good awareness, too, as an offense that we got to be able to dig ourselves out and flip field position. And I thought at times last year, you really think about it, those two special teams plays led into why we had maybe some backed up field position. So, you know, without a doubt, we can't do this just with our defense. We can't do this just with our offense. We're going to need the special teams to be special. And not like any heroic one play is going to change it. But at any point, oftentimes in a game of two really good teams, it does come down to where one or two special team plays can be momentum plays or field position plays like we saw against Keystone. That was huge. Without those short fields, we probably aren't scoring 59. We're scoring half of that maybe. And again, you get the win, but those games can be flipped pretty quickly on a short field here or a big play on a special teams one way or the other.
I know you're not a big dramatic speech guy. You're more of an all-week guy, but what do you think are a couple of points you want to make right before they step on the field?
Yeah, this is a process. We talked about it being process-driven. We are, without a doubt, this is more about Hobart than it is against Ithaca. And I think that anyone that comes here knows that we play in big games. This is going to be a big game because it's our next one. They've had our number the last couple of years. When you look at it, certain teams match up better against others. You know, we beat some teams that have beaten them, so just how it shakes down. I think the fact that they don't have that bye week before us is substantial. I think our guys, right now, we have a different mindset with this team in terms of it is more about us. And we saw that when we went and played, whether that's a home game or away game, these guys have been ready to compete for 60 minutes, and that's what it's going to take. So, honestly, we've done very little talk about who the opponent is. It's been more about, all right, we identify personnel. We know some schemes. They're going to try to work on it. You know, they're big and strong up front at both sides. So it's going to be won and lost at the line of scrimmage. And then our specialists, we talked about the special teams, and then our skill guys got to go make some plays when they're there. But this is going to be more about, for us, the process we've done as we've improved year in, year out, week in and week out. Are we going to be a better team this Saturday than we were last Saturday? And we've done things on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday to try to help that. I think their mind's in the right spot. We're trying to make it not too big of a game, not too small of a game. It's the next big game because it's our next one.
All right, it's Hobart and Ithaca, 1 o'clock kickoff at Boswell Field Saturday. You can get this podcast, of course, wherever you go for podcasts, be it Apple or Google or Spotify, and get all your athletics news at hwsathletics.com. We've been talking with the coach of the Statesman, Kevin DeWall. Good luck Saturday and bringing home a big league W.
That'd be great. Thanks, Ted.